This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
I think a lot of what we're traversing now is, you know, how to navigate the politics that we see in Washington. And I would argue a first step is, you know, at the grassroots, being able to look one another in the eye and say, okay, what do we really believe? What is the shared future that we see for ourselves?
Can't we all just get along? That's the hope of Sam Ball, the director of the new documentary film, American Creed, which tells a story of the American dream, our nation's patchy history of advocating for equality, and the great red-blue chasm in this country. This week on Sea Change Radio, we speak with Ball alongside Joan Blades, co-founder of MoveOn.org, who's featured in the film. American Creed, which aired across the country recently on PBS, was made in partnership with Pulitzer Prize-winning historian David M. Kennedy and former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. A wide swath of American voices are amplified in the film, including that of Blades, who talks about the idea behind her latest nonprofit startup, Living Room Conversations, and the ambitious concept of getting Americans to actually listen to one another across ideological difference. We discuss the film, look at the problem of polarization in the U.S., and debate the merits of listening to one another in a world where facts, science, and math no longer seem to matter to far too many. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Sam Ball and Joan Blades. Sam is the co-founder of Citizen Film and the director of a new film called American Creed, and Joan is the co-founder of MoveOn.org. Joan, Sam, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
It's good to be here, Alex. Thank you.
Sam, why don't you first tell our listeners the backstory, the genesis of this project, American Creed, with Stanford professors David Kennedy and former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
Sure. The backstory of this project is a long-running conversation between the two Stanford professors you mentioned, David M. Kennedy, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning historian and the author of a pretty famous book about Franklin Roosevelt and the New Deal. David is progressive, an Obama supporter, of course, and Condoleezza Rice served in the George W. Bush administration, and before that was a professor of political science for many years at Stanford. So the two of them have been friends for nearly 30 years and have had this ongoing dialogue about American identity. And they came together well before the 2016 election out of a shared concern about the disintegration of civil discourse in the United States. And so the film centers around a conversation between the two of them about issues like immigration and education and economic development. All of those issues are tied together by a running dialogue between the two of them about what is essential to American ideals, what is essential to American identity, with the question, what are the fundamental building blocks of American democracy? What ties us together as a nation? Why should we want to sit at the table together, regardless of our ethnicity or history or political beliefs? What are the most elemental elements? What are the most essential elements of American democracy? And from that conversation, we cast stories that we thought were particularly compelling about the themes that Dr. Rice and Dr. Kennedy discuss with their students. And one of the things they discussed was kind of the gridlock in American political life. And we were really excited to discover a story about Living Room Conversations that Joan had co-founded in an attempt to have real meaningful conversation with the other side that would take us away from the point scoring that you see on cable news very often and allow for a deeper discussion of why we should want to sit at the table together and negotiate our differences from there.
Yes, Joan, why don't you walk us through your experience, the first experience from a few years ago, which is chronicled in the film, which is just coming out. You, as the co-founder of MoveOn.org, meet one of the co-founders of the Tea Party, Mark Meckler, for an ongoing series of discussions, and you really get to know each other and get to kind of understand your differences and to really to get to a more common place. So why don't you kind of give us the backstory there if you can.
Well, I actually started Living Room Conversations in around 2010 with a conservative partner. And by 2005, 2004, I live in Berkeley. I was born in Berkeley. I felt the need to talk to people that had different viewpoints outside of my own, because clearly people were seeing things quite differently than I did. And so I was part of a group called Reuniting America, where I had some great conversations and friendships made with conservatives. And I really learned a lot. I was truly curious in particular about where the differences on climate change came from, and had some very productive conversations in those years. By 2008, 2009, it was becoming clear to me that the ability to have that conversation was diminishing, not increasing. And I was thinking, other people need to have this opportunity to really connect with people that have different viewpoints, because that was happening less and less, and we were more and more living in separate narratives. So in 2013, I co-hosted a conversation with Mark Meckler, and one of my conservative friends had said, you know, co-founder of the MoveOn.org, co-founder of Tea Party Patriots, they should meet. And so Mark and I started talking on the phone and got to the point where, yeah, we decided, yeah, this would be fun. And a living room conversation is a very specific conversation designed to make it easy for people to sit down with each other. It's two friends with different viewpoints. Each invite two friends for a structured conversation. Everyone's agreed to some very simple ground rules, basically what you learned in kindergarten. Take turns, be curious, be respectful, own your part of the conversation. And people do that just naturally when they're in person, honestly, when that is the expectation. And then there are conversation rounds that start with just a little bit of getting to know you, so that you've talked a little bit about some of your deeper values before you talk about the topic you've agreed to talk about. And Mark and I decided we would co-host a conversation about crony capitalism. So he came to my house with two of his friends, and I had two of my friends here. We had this amazing conversation. And, yeah, everybody was a little bit anxious at the beginning of this. This was a number of years ago, before I'd done this enough time to just kind of get that there's a certain magic when people get together and really want to hear each other. It works beautifully, and it's, you know, designed so anyone can do it that really wants to do it. But that's how it started. And in this crony capitalism conversation, I learned that, in fact, we were in agreement. And when I say we, it's all six of us. So it was many perspectives. Mark's friends were a young mother who had a small business, and a gentleman who's really nice who works in the extractive industries. One of my friends was from Moms Rising, and another of my friends is someone that has taught GED for many years. And yeah, it was a deep conversation, and came to realize that we were in full agreement that too many people in prison, war on drugs is not a success, and we need to start using evidence-based practices in law enforcement. And that's actually a place where there has been some progress in reducing prison populations and changing drug laws. And Jeff Sessions is, you know, kind of going back to last century. I am hoping we can correct that, because there's a lot of people on the right that see that this is a deep problem too.
We'll be right back. Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Joan Blades and Sam Ball. Sam's the director of American Creed, and Joan is the co-founder of MoveOn.org and Living Room Conversations. Joan, do you think that polarization is the biggest problem in American politics today?
I think polarization is a huge problem. And if it's, I don't know if it's the biggest, but it makes everything else very hard to manage. With climate being my top issue, the question I ask is, even if we convinced everyone in leadership in DC that climate's a huge problem, if they were as successful in legislating around climate as they are around healthcare, for example, or the budget, I don't think it would be good enough. We need to be in relationship with each other, to have everyone's best ideas in the room, to be collaborating so that we have the agility to keep on adapting to what we learn as we try to manage this challenge. And all our challenges, if we had everybody's best ideas in the room and we were really trying for the best possible outcome, as opposed to this game of I won this and you won that, we would have a vastly more successful community and country.
Sam, do you think that it could be argued that we're actually less polarized under this reign of terror from the Trump administration, in that we have a president who has 30 to 35% approval ratings, and the Republican Party may be behind him in terms of policy? They may be working hand in hand in Washington to lay out their agenda, but it sounds like voters across both parties are not really behind the current administration. Do you think that could actually bring us together in a way as well?
I'll answer your question like this. I think that we have much more in common as Americans, as voters, as people with a stake in this country, than just looking at our political system and how business is conducted in Washington could tell us. If we only looked at that, we are incredibly polarized. We have a system right now that doesn't lend itself to looking at ideas where you could have buy-in from both sides and getting to agreement. It's a system that's based on scoring points. And I think when you talk to most Americans, that's not necessarily how they think. So we have, you know, a hyper-politicized media and a political system that doesn't reward people really sitting down together, getting to know one another, and voting on their interests, which, you know, I think is a problem long-term for our democracy. So our film, it takes a much more elemental step back and asks, from a variety of different perspectives, what should American ideals be? Because if we can draw a circle around ideals, then I think we can have a much more productive political conversation in this country.
Joan, thinking of the climate and some of the work that you've done at MoveOn.org and mobilizing millions of people to get behind a particular policy or get involved in something, I was reading a Twitter thread recently, and they were saying cynically that the Democratic Party doesn't really have a good plan right now for a clean energy tomorrow, and that it's mostly a reactive one. It's one that gets people angry. And I couldn't help but think, well, what would be a better way to get people marching in the streets? Should they be upset about Keystone XL pipeline, which is a symbolic issue more than anything? It's not as important as dozens of other environmental issues, but it gets people mobilized and angry, and it's simple enough to understand. I guess it's rhetorical, but people are not going to be up in arms and taking to the streets over the implementation of a gas tax or signing of the Paris Climate Agreement, etc., something that's more nuanced. If you're a leader in the climate movement, it would be wise to pick something that gets people angry and might be simple. And those tend to be divisive issues. So how do you continue to rally people behind your cause and still have them come together in something like Living Room Conversations? Since you've kind of done both at MoveOn.org and Living Room Conversations, maybe you have a unique perspective on that.
Well, from Move On, you know, I did see the shifting back and forth. We'd win battles, right? But then we'd lose battles. And I ultimately decided that we needed to be in relationship and win together, that when we care about each other, we find a way to meet each other's basic needs, and that we're far more capable of making progress. So I'm not advocating unilateral disarmament, but where I'm investing my time and energy these days is on the peace building, because I believe that that's where the real solutions are going to emerge. I have just seen it, you know, pendulum swing back and forth too many times now, with some progress, but then sometimes I see the black siding is remarkable. It's overwhelming the other, has been the theory I've heard a lot, and I've become ready to find a way to work with the other rather than overwhelm the other. One of the things that worries me is I talk to more and more progressives that no longer want to speak to the other. So there's a growing group of people on the right and the left that no longer want to even talk to each other. That's deeply worrisome. And I think it's dangerous.
I just want to talk to you. I won't do you no harm. I just want to know about your different lives on this here people farm. I hear some of you have families living in cages, tall and cold. Some just sit there and dust away past the age of old. But is this true? Please let me talk.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Joan Blades and Sam Ball. We hear about families being divided by politics, and I think it's a good game to play with yourself when you have to approach a person who is from the other side of the political spectrum, that you just pretend that they're a relative and you're sitting around a Thanksgiving table. There's some real value to that forced decorum of having to be at your in-laws' table, and let's say your father-in-law's a rabid Republican and you're a Democrat. You kind of have to hold your tongue if you want to have a nice, pleasant meal.
Well, we actually have a friends and family guide. For years, we said, you know, living room conversations are great if people can follow the ground rules, but what is family best known for? It's for breaking those ground rules, right? About being a host and a guest. But so many people ended up saying, you know, I went home and I had a better conversation with my dad than I've had for years, or I really had a good conversation with my nephew. That we put together a guide for talking to people when you're not in a living room conversation, because, you know, we can choose to have the kind of conversation we feel good about, and often it can draw out the kind of responses that are the beginning of, you know, having that relationship we want to have. It took us a long time to get here. This is not a simple fix. This is it's a practice. It's a way of changing our culture to one that is far healthier and far more connected. So I talk too seriously about living room conversations, because the fact is they're really fun. You know, sometimes I think my head's going to explode, but I learn things and I meet really wonderful people. We spend all sorts of money going on exotic vacations to have adventures. We can have an adventure in our own living room or library or parish hall, wherever it is. And it's just, you know, really showing up and having a deep conversation.
there's many better ways to convert people than telling them they're going to hell.
It's amazing how powerful listening is. We have this tendency to judge, and if we can just refrain from judging and really listen and make a connection, it's powerful. And then we can figure out where to go from there. In a living room conversation, sometimes we find common ground and we have next steps we want to do and we're in agreement. Or sometimes we have enough trust built and we have a challenge that then we can do a facilitated process to figure out how to come up with a solution that works for everybody. And sometimes it's just once we're in relationship with each other, you know, when you hear something that the other side did that's kind of crazy, you can check it out and say, do Hillary and John Podesta really have a child sex trafficking ring in Washington, D.C. pizza parlor? A lot of people believe that. If they were my friends and they'd asked me, I'd have said, you know, that doesn't sound right. It doesn't make sense. But if you're just with people that are going, oh, those people, and it happens, you know, on the left too. You know, we need to be, you know, caring about each other. It's such a simple thing, and it's so hard to do sometimes, but it's wonderful when we do it.
Sam?
Yeah, I mean, this conversation has sort of turned towards converting people to a point of view. And I'm reminded of another story we tell in the film, a former Bill Clinton speechwriter named Eric Liu, who founded an organization that brings community leaders together across political divides and all kinds of other divides that we have in this country. And he says something that I like about arguments. You know, what if the purpose of an argument wasn't necessarily to convert the other to your side, but what if it was actually a deeper purpose of coming to a new understanding of a problem? And, you know, again, our film isn't about, as Joan says, we're not preaching unilateral political disarmament on either side. We are looking at ideals from different perspectives through stories about people coming together in different ways to bridge a divide and create a solution that is unexpected. So when you watch the film at AmericanCreed.org or PBS.org, and it's above the paywall for free, you can just point your browser there or check your local PBS listings for a time. You might be surprised by some of the outcomes of these stories. And again, you know, as Eric Liu says, we don't need fewer arguments. We need less stupid ones.
And part of that is educating people at a younger age about better ways to talk to the other side. And why don't you talk about how American Creed is going to be part of a larger educational model?
Yeah, so we're very excited to be partnering with Facing History and Ourselves and the National Writing Project on a nationwide education campaign where students are going to be viewing short films, many of which become available at AmericanCreed.org later this month, and then having discussions about those films in classrooms. One of the films, short films, will be about Mark and Joan and their living room conversation collaboration. There'll be films about creating economic opportunity in rural areas where there's a surprising story about overcoming a divide there. And with each of these short films, students will have a chance to discuss the issues that are most important in their communities and practice some of those critical listening skills, where in any classroom, even in the bluest city or the reddest town or the bluest town in the reddest city, you will find that there is some amount of diversity in your classroom that if you don't find ways to productively engage with, you're not going to be getting the most out of each student. So we have really amazing curriculum that's been developed and curricular activities that have been developed to get kids speaking to one another about national ideals, so that at the end of this process, each child will be able to articulate
a sense of what they think American ideals should be. There's a national essay contest where cash prizes are being offered to the winners, and we'll be promoting through the website and through our partnership with PBS. There are response films that students are creating, led by National Writing Project and Facing History educators, some of which you'll see on a youth publishing site that the National Writing Project has launched. All of those resources are available through AmericanCreed.org. Thanks to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, we are partnering with PBS stations all around the country to develop local responses to the film. And what's been interesting is that responses look very different if you're in rural Wisconsin or in rural Montana or urban New York, and yet all of these films are part of the same family, asking a set of questions about American ideals. And those ideals are, they're in the water we drink. We might rebel against a certain way those ideals are posited, but I would argue it's a culture that we all share. And that periodically, at times like these, as happened during the Civil Rights Movement, for example, another period where we had to look at one another and say, okay, well, what do we really believe? What is the shared future we want for this country? And if we approach arguing differently, if we approach argument as a way to learn about one another, as a way to more deeply understand our differences, I think we could have some very positive outcomes that run the gamut from this being a more livable country to real practical policy solutions emerging from where we have a great deal of common ground all across the spectrum. So I think a lot of what we're traversing now is, you know, how to navigate the politics that we see in Washington. And I would argue a first step is, you know, at the grassroots, being able to look one another in the eye and say, okay, what do we really believe? What is the shared future that we see for ourselves? And I think that we may be a lot closer to that shared vision than you would think if you turn on cable news and look at the back and forth in Washington.
And I agree completely. Berkeley is a certain alternative reality bubble, as is Washington, D.C.
Well, it's certainly an optimistic view, and it's a great film, and it leads to fascinating discussions. I've enjoyed this one thoroughly. The film is called American Creed. People can see it via PBS.org. Sam Ball, Joan Blades, thanks so much for being my guests on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by Wolfpack and War.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.